Hey everyone, it's Maria Hinojosa, and thanks for listening to Latino USA. Now, be honest, are you a music nerd or a fledgling music nerd who wishes they knew more about what's out there? The All Songs Considered podcast from NPR Music is here to help. All Songs Considered is NPR's music discussion and discovery podcast. Each week, Bob Boylan and Robin Hilton share the best of the best new and upcoming music and plenty of songs you'll fall in love with. Find new All Songs episodes every Tuesday at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.
From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's a Latino USA. Today we're talking about abuelitos.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. That special relationship we have with our grandparents.
And with my grandchildren. Oh, you have to see them. They go, Grandma, I love you. And I say, I love you more than you love me.
The grandfather is important because they know better. We can be a good teacher for the grandkids.
And some of the amazing science behind grandparenting.
Really the crucial piece that led to other changes that make us human started with grandmothers.
Plus, our listeners share stories of their abuelos and abuelitas, all coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
Stay with us. No se vayan.
Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
Catherine, all you can do is hope you've instilled them with a little sense. I wouldn't relive Regina's teenage years for anything.
Did you ever forget?
Yvonne Cole is a lot like your average abuelita. She cares a lot about her four granddaughters. She's lived with them, raised them, tried to teach them right from wrong.
But you know, it is so funny because in real life, I am not an abuela. I just play one on TV.
Yvonne's grandchildren are all fictional. You've seen her because she's the go-to grandma for hit TV shows. On Fox's Glee, she was Santana's abuela. Now you can find her on Switched at Birth on ABC Family and on Jane the Virgin on The CW.
I try to portray as authentically as I can what I observe, especially here in North America, the dynamic of the immigrant grandmother with the American grandkids that are born here.
So how does she go about playing the Latina grandma on TV?
Well, I think nurturing and being loving is one of the biggest qualities that I see in all the grandmothers that I have around me, and to try to become them. I try to do that as best as I can. All the grandmothers that I played are very different from each other.
On Glee, Yvonne played Alma Lopez, a Mexican and very homophobic grandma.
Abuelita, I love girls the way that I'm supposed to feel about boys.
I want you to leave this house. I don't ever want to see you again. I took it after my grandmother, Salvadora, and she was very racist. One of my aunts had a black boyfriend who she ended up marrying, and she wouldn't let him into the house. It was incredible for me to see that. And that's kind of what I used for Glee.
On Jane the Virgin, Yvonne plays Alba Gloriana Villanueva, a conservative, chapada a la antigua, Venezuelan grandma who's also the head of the household. The very first episode starts with Alba handing her granddaughter Jane a beautiful flower. Then she tells Jane to crumple it to show her what will happen if she loses her virginity.
Así es. Nunca puedes volver atrás. Y eso es lo que sucede cuando pierdes tu virginidad.
And on Switched at Birth, she plays Adriana Vasquez, who's totally cool and totally hip, so the total opposite of Alba on Jane the Virgin.
Yeah, that abuela, I play her more like me. And Adriana Vasquez was a Puerto Rican grandmother, so she's more Americanized, you see? That's why she does the yoga. That's why she's a little bit more open. But Alba Gloriana Villanueva is from Venezuela. And she came here as an adult. So she's more Latin American in her point of view towards life, more traditional Latin American.
So no matter if you're Mexican, Puerto Rican, or Venezuelan, if you're a fictional Latino character, chances are your grandmother is played by Yvonne Kohl. And even though some might wonder if Hollywood really can't find another Latina actress over 60, Yvonne Kohl's experience playing a range of grandmas does reflect a reality about Latino grandparents. Many of them are immigrants.
I'm fascinated by the Latina grandmothers who I see in all the stores that I go to, talking in Spanish to their grandkids. And the grandkids answering in English, but understanding what the grandmothers are saying. And I've even asked them, I've stopped people and say, how do you feel? And they keep telling me, I just want them to preserve their authenticity, their where they come from. I just want them to know that Spanish was part of their heritage, of their language.
And so they are a link to the past, a reminder of the culture where we come from, often the foundation of our families here in the U.S. Today, we're looking at the huge impact they have on our lives. Our producer, Camilo Vargas, was visiting his family in Colombia over this past winter break. And in fact, it's that visit that sparked the idea for this show.
I literally got off the plane and took a cab and went to my abuelita's apartment to visit her for the first time in over a year.
And so I wonder, Camilo, what was it about your trip that made you decide doing an entire show for Latino USA dedicated to abuelitos y abuelitas?
I've always been very close to my grandparents, and I felt very lucky to have them. And I feel like the best and the strongest parts of myself come from them. And so that got me wondering, you know, we usually take grandparents a little bit for granted, not just because we don't call them often, but because, you know, we think, well, grandparents, you know, everyone has them. And it turns out having grandparents and having close relationships with our grandparents is something that is very unique to humans. And so I wanted to know more about grandparenting and why grandparents are so important to us. So I decided to call up an anthropologist that's trying to figure out one big question.
What happened in the evolution of our lineage that makes us so different from our closest living relatives?
That's Kristen Hawkes. What she's trying to find out is what made our ancestors think better, breed faster, and live longer than other primates. What makes human beings so human? She's putting all her money on one hypothesis.
It's really helpful grandmothering that turns that ape-like ancestor into something that then comes to be us.
Scientists call this the grandmother hypothesis.
It's a hypothesis that the crucial change that led to other changes that make us human started with grandmothers.
Now, to be clear, it's just a hypothesis. And it's debated by scientists. But Hawkes and a team of researchers came up with the hypothesis as they tried to solve one of biology's biggest mysteries.
There are a bunch of us, me included, adult females in all human populations that are past their fertility, which is very weird.
Most living creatures are supposed to reproduce until they die. So what's the evolutionary use of women, grannies, living so long after they stop having babies? To figure it out, they went to East Africa to study the Hadza, a tribe of hunter-gatherers who live much like our ancestors did when all of human life was hunting and gathering. While the men in the tribe hunted, the older women fed their grandchildren while moms took care of their newborns.
There it was right in front of our eyes. Enormous productivity that came from these older women and how important that turned out to be.
By not having more babies and caring for growing children, these older women were giving their daughters time and freedom to have more children of their own. And since these grandchildren would carry the grandmother's genetic material for old age, our ancestors started living longer, each time getting a little older and a little smarter. So, according to this hypothesis, we owe most of what makes us human
to ancestral grandmothers, absolutely. So thank your grandmother. That's right.
So you're basically saying that grandmothers have played an essential role in the evolution of humanity.
Yeah, and there's also evidence that as we started to live longer, we started creating arts, culture. Basically, our ancestral abuelos made us modern.
Okay, and so fast forward to nowadays. What is the image of the new Latina grandmother?
Well, I went out to a senior center in Corona, Queens, here in New York, where we are. And it turns out that when I got there, I found a senior dance party.
Seriously? Okay, I want to hear this.
We are not going to a senior center where you sit down and you start playing cards or playing bingo. We are from, they're from Colombia, me, and I'm from the Caribbean. So we, you know, we all love to dance.
I love to dance.
And that's why we're here.
When I got there, there were grandparents of all ages, Colombians, Puerto Ricans, and Alicia Rodriguez, the social worker, gave me the lay of the land.
So that first table, it's the cool table. It's like dancing day, everybody's fighting to get in that table.
Oh, really?
And they're not allowed to save seats.
No, don't tell me there are cliques when you're grandparents. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the two grandmas you heard from earlier, they're two of the most popular girls. I was lucky they even talked to me.
My name is Marie. Marie Foca.
My name is Edith Samaniego, and I'm from Colombia.
And how long have you guys been friends?
About 2 years, yeah.
And I asked them, like, what does being a grandmother mean to them?
With my grandchildren, oh, you have to see them. They go, grandma, I love you. And I say, I love you more than you love me. Both of them, 114 and 111, and they really, I can feel the love for me.
The love that you feel for the grandchildren is even more than you felt for your own children, because you have more time to spend with them.
My kids call their grandmother abuelis, because they couldn't say abuelita, so they call her abuelis. Did you ask them about their grandmother nicknames?
I sure did. Abuelitas usually have some nickname. Los abuelitos.
That sounds very old.
Doesn't it?
Abuelita, no, but grandma or nana, you know. Yeah, but like abuelita sounds like you're falling apart.
But those abuelitas, they are definitely not falling apart.
Nope, they're not. And dancing is also a big thing in Edith's house with their grandkids.
The little one,
no much.
He danced like crazy. Say, grandma, I had to practice it because one day I'm going to dance with you. And everything I used, because they used to come to my house every day.
And they even talked to me about how Spanish was used in the household.
Do they speak Spanish? No, they
no.
want to learn. They're learning
no,
in the school.
They don't speak Spanish.
And we could have gone on forever, but it was time to go dance.
We gotta go.
We gotta go party.
I love you.
It was
thank
so
you
nice
for
meeting
everything.
You.
The thought of these senior centers filled with Latino elder folks and grandparents dancing in the middle of the day, I want to be there.
It was amazing. Whether it was Marie from Puerto Rico or Edith from Colombia, they made me feel like Latinos share some common childhood.
It's like you're saying it's because of grandmothers and grandfathers here, Latino grandmothers and grandfathers, that we're going to have a strong Latino cultural presence. It's going to be due to them.
Yeah. Many of them come here as immigrants or are brought by their immigrant children, but they are raising American children. And a lot of people think, you know, nowadays grandparents are, you know, are not that important as they used to be back in, you know, in traditional societies. But it turns out since the 1970s, the number of children that are being raised by their grandparents has doubled. And after the 2008 recession that really hit Latinos hard, we were falling back on that safety net of our grandparents because they are the rock on which many families are built. And that is what we owe to them.
Coming up on Latino USA, when abuelos step in to take care of their grandchildren.
But we always wanted to let your mother know that we are taking care of her for you.
Stay with us. No se vayan.
Es un buen tipo, mi viejo. Que anda solo y esperando. tiene la tristeza larga de tanto venir andando. Yo lo miro desde lejos, pero somos tan distintos. Es que creció con el siglo, con tranvía y vino tinto.
Hola, mis queridos y queridas listeners. Before we get back to talking about abuelos, I want to ask you to do us a couple of favors. If you listen to us on iTunes, please, can you rate and review our show? It's more helpful than you think. And if you really love what we do here, head over to latinousa.org. Real simple, click on the donate button. Even small donations have a very big impact on helping us make the radio that you love. Muchas gracias, everyone.
Support for NPR comes from NPR members, stations, and from Inara, maker of the Dream Wave Massage Chair. Japanese crafted with shiatsu point detection and 16 pre-programmed massages, including morning, night, and full body sessions. Learn more at dreamwavechair.com. And the Kresge Foundation, expanding opportunities in America's cities through grant making and social investing. More at kresge.org.
Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And speaking of what grandparents do for us, here's a number. More than 2.5 million grandparents in the U.S. are raising their grandchildren. Abuelitos step in when parents go through tough times, anything from health issues to financial troubles. Raising grandkids can be a huge struggle, but also a huge source of joy. Producer Megan Kemmerich has this portrait of an abuela in Albuquerque.
Irene Trujillo's grandson has an important decision to make.
Okay, do you want ducks or you want bike?
Bike.
Okay, so let's all go ride a bike. So we're here.
We head over to a nearby storage facility. Andrew is 16. He has autism and a seizure disorder, so a closed-in area is safer than street riding.
To Children's Hospital.
Hospital.
Hospital. He has a tricycle. He followed his motorcycle.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
I want chocolate.
You want chocolate? Well, good luck with that. All right. Okay. You ready? Okay, I'm coming. You steer.
Irene is a petite ball of energy with streaks of gray in her dark hair. Andrew has a shy smile. He's a good head taller than she is. They live in a small rental house off a busy street in the South Valley, a historically Latino part of Albuquerque. Andrew came to his grandparents when he was 3 days old. Andrew's mother said Irene's son was the father.
He said, well, it's my son. It's my responsibility. I want to take care of that. But I don't know nothing about babies, so can you help me? And so I'm going, I got to talk to your dad about that, you know, because that's another 18 years.
Irene and her husband decided to take Andrew. But a year and a half later, DNA tests revealed he was not their grandson. Irene didn't care.
He was part of my heart, part of my family. He calls his Uncle David, Uncle Dede. I'm his Nana.
She eventually won legal guardianship of him.
I had made a commitment to him before he was born. So just because the DNA said no, wasn't a good enough reason to just flake out on him. It wasn't like I could say, never mind.
Andrew has seizures. He needs a special diet. It took years to get him an autism diagnosis, so he lost out on early intervention. Unlike foster parents, grandparents don't get paid by the state to take care of their grandchildren. Irene lives on $1,700 a month from Social Security and SSI benefits for Andrew. She was turned down for food stamps.
We applied and they said, no, I make too much.
Still, she's fought tirelessly to get services for Andrew.
I had to bug people. I firmly believe that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And I have always been a squeaky wheel.
What's this? What's this?
No.
Today, Kim Meyer, a psychologist with the state Medicaid program, comes to the house to work with Andrew.
He's actually got a fairly extensive vocabulary that he usually doesn't use. That's why I ask him the questions, those kinds of things. And then also working on compliance, because he has a tendency to only do what he wants to do.
Andrew's reward for doing the exercises is to play YouTube videos on Meyer's phone. He likes Elmo, Jack Benny, and The Lucy Show.
The yellow-bellied woodpecker on our lawn.
No, what I know is a red-headed cuckoo in the living room.
Not only does Irene take care of Andrew, she leads a local support group for grandparents raising grandchildren.
If your son or daughter is addicted, that's grief. If your son or daughter is dead, that's grief. If your son or daughter have become part of the penal system, that's grief. And another thing you have to grieve is what your life would have been had this not happened.
These grandparents often feel isolated. They struggle financially, and they usually neglect their own health.
You've got to make sure you take your pills. Oh, that reminds me, I haven't taken my pills today. But you have to take your pills. Because it's the oxygen mask thing, you know. If you're on the airplane, you put your oxygen mask on first. So you have to take care of yourself first in order to take care of your grandchildren.
It's not exactly what Irene pictured for her golden years, but she has no regrets.
I keep saying my 401k stands up and walks around. But, I mean, when my husband died, I think the only thing that kept me going was this guy, because I had to take care of him.
Okay, are you hungry? You want to eat something before we leave?
Irene is 63. She knows Andrew will outlive her, but she believes he'll be able to live independently with help.
Crying is great to get things off your shoulders, but if you want to keep on going, you have to laugh.
And that's why she usually chooses laughter over tears.
Glutinous. No gluten.
For Latino USA, I'm Megan Kamrick in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Not long after our producer, Daisy Rosario, was born, her mother was hospitalized. Daisy's mom was out in her Brooklyn neighborhood when a man she didn't know began shooting. Her mother spent a year in the hospital learning how to walk again. So Daisy's grandparents had to step in. She spent the first years of her life living with them. And so Daisy invited her grandfather, Bert Seiss, better known to Daisy and to our office as Papa's, to our studio to have a conversation with him.
If I remember, I mean, I don't really remember. I mostly remember from the videos you made of, you know, mom came home, but she was still very weak and kind of caring for her.
Very frail.
Yeah.
But we always wanted to let your mother know that we are taking care of her for you.
You and Grandma were very young grandparents.
Yes.
I mean, which is good because it meant you also had a lot of energy to keep up with a kid.
Oh, yeah. The things that we used to do, like the videos, mm-hmm. the pictures, mopeding. Bicycle riding, you weren't too much into
it. I could never get the hang of it. Yeah. It makes me dizzy.
Yeah. But you got on the moped, and we used to ride you around, and you used to enjoy that.
Yeah. And I just have a lot of memories of you coming home from, like, when we all lived together in Sterrett, of you coming home from work and, like, bringing me a book or bringing me fruit or bringing me a little trinket or always mm-hmm. something.
Okay. Yeah. So you do remember those good things.
Huh? I think as I got older, I really started to appreciate that, like, because of the kind of work you did, you were always showing me how to fix things or how things worked. I realized that not every grandfather would necessarily do that for a granddaughter.
A woman wants to learn what I'm doing, I'm okay with that. You mm-hmm. know, young, whether it's a
boy or girl.
We all lived together until I was about 5½ or 6. Mom and I stayed in the same apartment, and I kind of was the one fixing things around the apartment as I got older.
Well, that's good.
Because she didn't know how to, like, you know, set the VCR and do all those little things.
Yes.
And I knew that from, I mean, you always had a video camera attached to you, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you were always in front of it.
Yeah. My dad wasn't around. He was involved in a few different issues. He was in and out of jail. He was on drugs. And he would say he was coming to see me, and then he wouldn't come see me, and I'd be that kid waiting.
Yeah, and I did mention that to him. I said, you know, when you say that you're going to do something, mm-hmm. especially with her, you need to do it for the mere reason that she does not forget.
You know, I'm not embarrassed about the type of person my father was, because I've been able to deal with that already. But, like, Mom even told me that there were times where he got more aggressive than that with you.
It was actually being more hard on her and giving her the, giving her this macho thing that she couldn't go out or she couldn't do this or do that, whatever it was. And I said, no, that doesn't work that way. Number one, you don't hit. You don't tell a person you can't do this or do that, because that's not the way it goes. Mm-hmm. Because I'm into women's liberation. That's probably one of the reasons I've always been that way. And this is why I was very thoughtful with him.
When I was living in L.A., I remember I would call you guys, and Grandma was always like, oh, gosh, where are you living? And I was, like, kind of living in my car and, like, staying on my friends' couches. And she didn't say she worried about me. She was like, well, that's, you know, be careful. That's not the safest thing. And I pray for you and make sure God watches over you and everything. But I'm not worried about you. And I was, like, surprised. She was like, no, your mom I worry about, but you I don't really worry about, because I know that you know how to take care of yourself. She gets that I'm doing this, but I'm not, like, failing. I'm just in a rough patch, and I'll be able to, like, figure it out. After my dad died, because my relationship with him had been so complicated because he hadn't been there. But a few years before he died, I chose to get to know him some. And after he passed away, Grandma was like, I'm very proud of you for doing that. I'm really proud of you for contacting him, even though it must have been hard and scary. And to, I think Papa's is like fishing for tissues. Yes, he is.
Nothing is good.
So prepared. As close as I was to Mom, I feel like I'm a lot more like you and Grandma in my various ways.
Most people say, oh, my gosh, she looks so much like your wife.
Yeah.
You know? She says, yeah.
But then on the other hand, there are things that Grandma doesn't do as much that I do that are much more like you. Like, Grandma always is like, oh, Bert will talk to anybody. And, like, I do that all the time.
Which is great. I think it's a good asset.
My mom's not like that. You know, Grandma's not like that. Like, you're the one in the family who's like that, and I'm very much like that, too.
Isn't that something?
We grew up so close, and then when I was, like, in high school age, I guess, like, you know, Mom told me that, like, you weren't actually, like, my blood grandfather. And I was like, this is confusing and weird, but I was also like, but he's Papa's. Like, he's just, like, where, he's still, like, totally, like, how, it was almost crazy to me that it would, that there was any, like, need to define that, because I was like, but we do have so much in common. Like, this is my grandfather, you know, like, it doesn't matter.
Right. People have to understand that it's not the actual blood, it's the nurturing that counts. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing things with your grandchildren, start doing it. So in that way you can feel the energy and the love. And this is something that they will never forget.
People think that abuelos and abuelas today will have a hard time adapting to a world that's changing all around them. When Chanel International Lopez began her gender transition a decade ago, her very traditional Dominican parents struggled to accept her. But her abuela, Melida Sanchez, never wavered in her love.
¿Y qué es lo que tú le pones que lo hace tan rico? Pues la habichuela con dulce, yo la pongo a cocinarse cuando están blanditas.
Chanel says she's learned everything from her abuela, from how to love and care for others to how to cook.
Even my friends look forward to her making a big pot. They're like, oh, I need some of your grandmother's famous habichuela con dulces.
My name is Chanel International Lopez. I am a Dominican woman of trans experience. I'm very proud of being Dominican.
Pues mi nombre es Melida Sánchez. Soy dominicana, vivo en Nueva York. Y soy abuela de Chanel.
I've always knew I wanted to be a woman since I was 5. My grandmother was confused at first, her being old school, old fashioned, but she was the one that was the first to accept who I was. And, you know, and actually she's the one that gave me my name, Chanel, because that's her favorite perfume. And when she came from Dominican Republic as an immigrant years ago, when she was able to afford her perfume, the first perfume she bought was Chanel.
Because I'm closer to her. And, like, she's the first person that I actually told that I was going to transition. Before I told my mom, before I told my sisters.
At the age of, like, 14, my mother sent me to Dominican Republic because, you know, I needed to be a little bit more masculine. And I was there for, like, 2-3 years, and I remember calling my grandmother in the middle of the night crying, telling her, I can't stand it here anymore. She came the next week and she got 2 plane tickets, one for her, one for me. And she brought me back to New York. That was when I was 16. I'm 39 now. I haven't seen my father since then. And I haven't been back to Dominican Republic yet.
Su papá no lo acepta, pero yo no he visto a su papá después de esto porque él parece que estará bravo conmigo, pero...
My father to this day does not speak to me. When he found out that I had transitioned into being a woman, he was not happy at all.
She used to get along with my father, but she hasn't heard from my father since, like, I started the transition because she, you know, and she says she feels like he's probably upset at her because of it.
You know, my mother has dealt with it. It wasn't easy for her either. It's not that she don't love me, it's just that she doesn't understand.
No, no fui al principio, pero tampoco los hice sentir.
You know, like, my grandmother, like, it's hard for her because she's an older lady, and she's grew up knowing me with one name.
She at first didn't accept it, but, you know, she never made me feel uncomfortable, which is true.
Yo me dolió porque yo quería tener familia por parte de él y con así, pero Dios quiso que fuera así. Yo lo acepto.
It hurt her in the beginning because we're a small family, so she wanted to have a big family, and she was kind of depending on me to have a big family, you know, but it didn't happen that way, so, but, you
tengo
know.
Tengo problemas con algunas personas que de la familia, que a veces quieren hablar, pero yo lo callo.
Like, some of her old friends still try to call me by my own name, and I've been here when she's like, that's not her name anymore, and you're going to respect her. She wants to be called Chanel, and that's what you're going to call her.
Yo lo acepto porque yo creo mucho en Dios. Y las cosas que pasan aquí en la tierra es porque Dios la tiene dispuesta. Y no se puede criticar a nadie por su postura de ser.
She was saying that, like, you know, she was thinking, like, we all like creatures of God. And if I decided to come to be, if I decided to become who I was, one, because that's who I am and I want to be happy, you know, and I'm happy because I wasn't happy as a boy, you know, she can't question God's creation. And if God already knew what he was doing when he created me, and this is who I am. I'm her grandchild no matter what. And God created me this way, and she didn't have a problem accepting me.
Pues, Dios quiso que fuera así. No se puede rechazar. Es mi nieto. Mi nieta. Okay.
Tendrás que ser un gran varón. Al extranjero se fue Simón, lejos de casa se le olvidó aquel sermón. Cambió la forma de caminar, usaba falda, lápiz labial y un carterón.
Our piece on Chanel y su abuela was produced by Anne Noyes Sani with help from Sarah Barrett. Anne has also produced a related piece about Chanel and her adopted gay and transgender children. You can hear the story on Mother, a podcast, and for more information, just go to latinousa.org.
No me conoces, yo soy Simón.
Coming up on Latino USA.
My grandmother was always experimenting with the paranormal. So I grew up with the mystery of life, with the possibility of magic.
How Isabel Allende's abuela put the magic in her magical realism. Stay with us. No se vayan. Hey, everyone. It's Maria Hinojosa, and thanks for listening to Latino USA. Now, be honest. Are you a music nerd or a fledgling music nerd who wishes they knew more about what's out there? The All Songs Considered podcast from NPR Music is here to help. All Songs Considered is NPR's music discussion and discovery podcast. Each week, Bob Boylan and Robin Hilton share the best of the best new and upcoming music and plenty of songs you'll fall in love with. Find new All Songs episodes every Tuesday at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.
Deja que te cuente para que tú veas. No va a hablar de trabajo ni tampoco de la escuela. Aunque eso está muy bien, eso lo sé. Yo quiero que sepas tú lo mío para que veas lo más peor. Yo llegué de Nueva York a principio del verano y quería quedarme en la casa de mi hermano. Y él me dijo, brother, tú aquí no te quedas. Te llevo con primo Pepe para la casa de mi abuela. Ay, qué dolor, pobres vacaciones. Lo que hizo mi hermano, que clase de pantalones. Enseguida mi abuela me cayó encima para limpiar el patio y pintarle la cocina. Yo le dije, doña, yo vengo a descansar. Y ella dijo, no, mi hijito, usted viene a trabajar.
De verdad que eres malo, no sé.
Ay, abuela,
la barba me la pinto, pero no cortarme el pelo. Mejor me quedo muerto. Le expliqué que está de moda dejarse la melena. Y ella dijo que ese chavo así parece una nena. Y como no me lo corté, esperó que me durmiera y me dejó el coqui pelado con una jet tijera.
¡Qué vaina! ¡Qué chamienda! ¿Qué dirán mis panas cuando me vean?
Otro día para el almuerzo me dijo mi abuela que me iba a cocinar lo que yo quisiera. Entonces le pedí una comida bien buena, un hamburger, un hot dog, lo que como todos los días.
Support for NPR comes from NPR members, stations, and from Lumber Liquidators, a proud sponsor of NPR, offering more than 400 styles, including hardwood, bamboo, laminates, and vinyl, with flooring specialists in hundreds of stores nationwide. More at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD. And Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Isabel Allende is often called the world's most widely read Spanish language author. She's written over 20 novels, many of them bestsellers. Isabel was born in Chile, where she was raised in her grandparents' house. Her father abandoned her family when she was just a toddler, so Isabel's mother had no choice but to move back in with her parents with her three kids. Isabel says her grandparents were a major influence on her.
My grandmother was called Isabel, like me, and my grandfather was called Agustín. My grandmother was always experimenting with the paranormal at a time when that was not allowed by the Catholic Church. I don't know if now it's allowed or not, but at the time, seances with spirits and all that, that was not allowed. And so she would have these seances, experiment with telepathy, trying to move objects without touching them or guess what was inside a box that was closed. So I grew up with the mystery of life, with the possibility of magic, with a sense that nothing is as we see it. And I think that that was a big influence for my writing. People say that I write magic realism. To me, it's like life. I mean, I see life as very mysterious. My grandfather was a tough Basque, a handsome man, who his job all his life was raising sheep in the south, in Patagonia, and then exporting the wool to London, to England. And he had very rigid, conservative Catholic principles. And he was a man that was very generous, but he never showed his generosity because it would feel to him like showing off. So a sense of modesty, of discretion. He would have wanted me to be a boy, and he would have taught me to play pelota vasca. I think he was disappointed that I was a girl, but he loved me. He gave me a work ethic, a sense of discipline. Never whine, never complain, never ask for anything. All those things, my grandfather's rules. He gave me all the things that I have been able to use to survive in my strange life. And then my grandmother died, and the house became a house of mourning because my grandfather dressed completely in black. There were no flowers, no dessert, no parties, no music. He painted the furniture black, and he was in black for 8 years. So my childhood was magical and exuberant when she was there, and then it was a house of mourning when she was gone. They were so different. He must have been fascinated by her.
Isabel and her family had to flee Chile after the military coup in 1973 that removed Salvador Allende, her cousin, from the presidency. She settled first in Venezuela, later in California, where she lives today. Whenever Isabel pictured her old age, though, she always imagined it like her own childhood, several generations of a family living all together. But it didn't quite work out that way.
When I had grandchildren of my own, I thought it would be like that, that I would have my little tribe and I had a large house. I would see my grandchildren every single day. I was present in their lives constantly. Then they went to college and they forgot they had ever had a grandmother. Now I can only communicate with them through Facebook. I find that amazing. My grandchildren are totally American in that sense. So I feel very left behind and sad about this.
Yo no canto por cantar, ni por tener buen amor.
So kids, come on. Remember to call your abuelita, whether she happens to be Isabel Allende or not.
Tiene sentido y razón. Tiene corazón de tierra.
Here are some of the beautiful memories of abuelitos and abuelitas sent in by our listeners and friends of our show, including a few stories about that moment when you finally have to say goodbye.
My name is Natalia Sylvester. When I was 6, a couple of years after my family moved from Peru to Miami, I had a hip surgery that left me in a cast, stretching from my chest down to my left ankle. My grandmother often came over to help my mom take care of me and keep me company. One day, Nona decided we'd walk to the bakery down the street, just her and I. It was called Andalucía Bakery, and we ordered these delicious Peruvian milhojas filled with layers of manjar blanco and crispy pastry, topped with powdered sugar. On our way home, Nona recited to me a poem she'd learned as a child. It was from the Spanish play La Vida es un Sueño by Pedro Calderón de la Barca. Every day, we'd walk to the bakery, me with my little walker, Nona with her mind full of poetry, and she'd have me recite a line back to her, and then another, and another, until I'd memorized the whole thing. The poem was about gratitude. It was a reminder that even in difficult times, what we think are hardships, someone else might consider a blessing. I had many more surgeries after that one, many more casts and walkers and crutches, and months of missing school or being teased by kids once I got there. But I don't remember feeling like I had much to complain about. To this day, my grandmother will ask me if I remember the poem, and I say, of course, I know it by heart. And I start, Cuentan de un sabio que un día.
My name is Willem Garcia. I grew up between New York and Puerto Rico, and the most cherished memories of my grandparents definitely took place in Toa, Puerto Rico. I couldn't speak Spanish that well when I went back, and so my grandparents really definitely reconnected me with who I am in terms of ancestral and cultural roots. My grandmother, Guillermina Costale, definitely think about her serving the kids around the neighborhood, Limbel, when I had no idea what that meant at the time. I also remember her making her famous arroz con huevo special, which definitely consisted of rice and eggs almost every day. Me complaining when she was going to change the menu up, and she just always answered, you know, hoy vamos a comer arroz con huevo con lengua. My grandfather, Juan Medina, he was originally from Utuado, and he never learned how to read and write, but definitely worked for the Defensa Civil de Puerto Rico for 45 years. He definitely had a field in the back where he had a lot of fruits, and I used to love glancing at him, looking at the field while he was sitting under a zinc roof, while he has his machete in his hand. He used to always chase us around because we used to always break his plans, because we used to run around the backfield and him screaming, ¿Quién rompió la mata? ¿Quién rompió la mata? Can't forget those two important figures in my life. May they rest in peace.
My name is Chris Lopez. I'm from Houston, Texas. My grandpa was a father to me. I looked up to him very much. In May of 2011, which was my senior year of high school, he was put into the hospital. So I started writing a song with a lot of the feelings I was experiencing and a lot of the thoughts that were running through my head. I hadn't finished writing the song whenever he did pass away on May 12th of 2011. I continued writing the song, and I finally finished it. I started composing it with the instruments that he bought for me, including the accordion, trombone, and acoustic guitar. It was the hardest song to write, record. I wish I would have never had to. I just wish he could hear it. Just like you.
We're going to go back now to that senior center in Queens that we heard from at the top of our show. Our producer, Camilo Vargas, sat down with Edith and Marie. He told them about his grandmother and why he decided to talk about abuelitos.
You were very attached to your grandmother.
I was the oldest. I was the oldest born to the mother.
You were the first one? No wonder. Yes.
Well, the idea for this show came because my grandmother passed away this last January, yeah.
In January?
And she was the most special, beautiful, sacred person in my life.
I even prepare my grandchildren about that. I talk to them, even if my daughter say to me, Ma, don't, I say, Debbie, it's gonna happen, okay? And I tell them, if something happened like that, don't feel bad. Because believe me, I'm resting in peace, okay? And you know, I want them to grow up without the fear that I was growing up thinking about dying. I want them to feel in peace and in thinking, okay, my grandmother, well, I know it happened and you know how you feel. You see, it hurts. I don't want my grandchildren to hurt like that. I don't want it because I'm gonna feel bad. So that's why once in a while I tell them, even if they don't want me to say it, I say it.
Dear Abuelita, the happiest moment of my childhood was when we decided to move in with you and Abuelito. One of my first memories is of me playing with my sister on a mat you would lay out for us on the floor of your studio. I can still smell the scent of burning wood and fresh lacquer that filled our house because you would paint the porcelains on our living room, the paintings on each of your grandchildren's rooms, and you'd even decorate the portable tables, the coasters, and the little wooden treasure chests where all your grandchildren kept their collections. You took care of us through my parents' divorce, the saddest time I've ever had to live through. But it was that beautiful home you kept that gave me the strength to endure those terrible times. Years later, I had just turned 15 when you fell ill for the first time. You stopped painting, and our old house suddenly filled up with the scent of medicine and Vicks vapor rub. And from my room, I could hear the never-ending bubbling sound of the water filter from your oxygen machine. a sound that became calming as time passed by, because I knew it kept you alive, that it gave you breath, and I admired the strength with which you endured it. I remember you would lay in bed, and my grandfather would pull out his old doctor's bag with the noisy zipper, and he would pull out an old stethoscope to make sure your heart was okay. That image of my grandfather taking care of you when you were weak is the first image of what true love looks like, and it stayed with me ever since. When my grandfather passed away, I was out of the country, and I didn't get to say goodbye to him, but I promised myself that I would visit you as often as I could. 3 years ago, Abuelita, I moved to New York to pursue my dreams, just like you and Abuelito wanted. I knew that I wouldn't be able to visit you every Sunday like I used to. My greatest fear was that you would forget me, or that I wouldn't get to say goodbye. So this past Christmas, I came home to you, and we spent the most beautiful Christmas together, praying the novenas, that Colombian tradition of praying for 9 nights before Christmas Eve. Then, 2 days before New Year's, you had that terrible stroke. But you weren't going to let that ruin Año Nuevo. So the night of New Year's Eve, all of our family flew in, and we spent New Year's Eve with you at the hospital, sneaking in the fruit salad and baked ham you loved so much. A part of me knew that this was the beginning of the end, that you had waited for me, for all of us. And a few days later, in January, as we took you to the hospital because your heart was starting to give out, I was there with you. I was there in the emergency room while you were still conscious. And I held your hand one last time, and I said, "Aquí estoy, abuelita." And you looked at me and said your final words, "Bueno, mi amor." Yes, my love. I kept my promise. You gave me the gift of saying goodbye. Abuelita, you and Abuelito Alfredo gave me the most beautiful childhood a boy could ever wish for. Everything that is strong in me, I owe to you. The love that I saw in my grandfather's eyes as he looked at you, even in his last days, is the same love that I have and will always have for my husband. Thanks to you, I look forward to growing old at his side, enjoying the passage of time, like aging lovers in a Gabriel Garcia Marquez story. I will care for him, and he will care for me. And who knows, we'll probably enjoy the sound of our own grandchildren playing or reading out loud on a mat in the floor of our house. Other people are afraid of getting old, abuelita, and growing weak with time. But thanks to you, old age feels like a long-lost paradise, a home that I am slowly returning to. Hasta siempre, abuelita.
¿Y el nombre de tu abuelita, your grandma's name?
Isabel Lozano de Aguirre.
Pues gracias, Isabel Lozano de Aguirre, for bringing us Camilo, and for Camilo doing the show. Thank you, Camilo.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you to all of our listeners and friends who sent in your pictures and stories about your abuelos and abuelas. We put them together in an audio collage with your pictures and your stories. Just go to our website, latinousa.org, to hear them. Now we want to take a minute to say thanks to someone whose name you've heard on our air for a very long time. Senior producer AC Valdez is leaving us, but the entire LUSA team wants to say gracias, AC, for all your hard work and help as we move to our hour-long format. I am particularly sad to say goodbye to someone who I enjoyed working with a lot, especially on the road, in Austin, Sacramento, Corpus, and in Laredo, AC, where you thought you just might try your luck in the jalapeño eating contest. We'll miss you very much, Ariel, and wish you all the best on your next big adventure. Gracias de nuevo. And since today's show has been all about the abuelos, Daisy Rosario's grandfather, Bert Seiss, is going to give you the credits.
That's it for this week. Latino USA is produced by Camilo Vargas, Daisy Rosario, AC Valdez, Lita Hartman, Marlon Bishop, Michael Simon Johnson, and Antonia Serajido. Our engineer is Cornelius McMoyler. Nadia Raymond is our music consultant.
Nancy Trujillo makes it all happen. This show was founded at the University of Texas at Austin. Maria Hinojosa is our host and executive producer. Join us again next week. And in the meantime, you can find Latino USA on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. The Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
Cute. Okay, got it.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the SciSims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a better life. More information is available at SciSimsFoundation.org and NEE Casey Foundation, whose every kid needs a family, report highlights state child welfare system policies and practices. More information is available at AECF.org. This is NPR.